Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Simate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitti Namine. Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatyade Satarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Shri Advaita Garadara Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktavindam. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. I would like to personally tell you, in brief, what prompted me to think very seriously about the Japa reform. Yes, I had read the book of His Holiness Satswarup Maharaj, and I had profited tremendously about it. But I was very young and very immature. And I did not take enough advantage. A time came where I began to understand that as a devotee in Krishna consciousness, I had to overcome the dryness of my heart. Not by position and by a lot of activity, but by feeling a connection with Lord Krishna while I chanted His holy name. Or that was without the name, just feeling a connection to Lord Krishna. And like many of my generation, that is devotees who joined early our movement, I began to think very deeply how I could become enthusiastic and fulfilled in my Krishna consciousness. I did make some experiments. Like it is natural for a person who wants to experience something, and finally arrived at the statement that in the holy name of Lord Krishna there's everything. I heard that in the name, when you chant the name, you establish first a contact. Krishna is there. Prabhupada said it's not that he cannot hear you. He hears you. And then later, as you chant, you will, Prabhupada spoke in this connection of spiritual TV, you will actually see Govinda in the heart. He said, there is a machine in your heart. It is not that you have to buy a machine. Krishna is also there, and you can receive him. You can see him, provided you repair the machine. Prabhupada can talk so directly and so And so I began to think like this, that everything is in the holy name, and I have to just somehow make it work for me. But as I was after some experiments coming back to the holy name, I noticed that I don't really feel anything, and I developed a grave doubt. I thought, I have tried to come closer to Krishna, I have been directed to the holy name, but it doesn't work for me. I began to also intellectually said, is it really that everything is in the holy name? I began to ask this question. And if it is really everything is in the holy name, why don't I feel it? Then came a shock. I learned that I was not chanting the holy name. I learned something which so totally unsettled me that I want to put this at the beginning of the Japa retreat to also unsettle you. Because an unsettled person will be very serious in his effort. I began to understand, and it was very hard for my false ego, that I was not chanting Hare Krishna. I was only pronouncing the syllables. The shock started when I read something which Prabhupada had said in the year 1977. I have really tried to research Srila Prabhupada on this point, but I'm not so good with computers. I always have other devotees have to do it. So I really only found, with some help, this one statement of Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada was in his, it was in February 1977. It was a relatively late point in Prabhupada's teachings. He was sitting in his room in Sridhar Mayapur, and underneath him there was a kirtan going on, and Prabhupada was addressed maybe by a devotee or by a guest about this kirtan. Prabhupada very soberly said, they may chant, but they must understand the chanting process that will be more effective. Anyone can chant, but they must know it, that if I chant in the proper process, then it will be effective. And then he says, there is one word by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Namakshara bahi haya, nama nahi haya. Simply the alphabets are coming, but that is not nama. Namakshara, Hare Krishna. The alphabets are coming out, but it is not the holy name. When I heard this, I understood I had actually not chanted the full holy name. Later, this is not a new point. By no means this is new. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, whom I researched on this, he said, when you speak of the holy name of Krishna, that means divine sound. And then he gives a comparison. He compares the holy name with a medicinal capsula which inside bears the medicine. I know we have Kosha Rupa Mataji, and she has brought some herbs from the Amazon's most properly, and she will distribute some herbs for you, free of cost. and without any ulterior business motive. And there you will see some capsulas. The capsulas themselves are not the medicine. They enclose the medicine. Listen to this. The holy name of Krishna means divine sound. It can be compared to a capsule of medicine. The capsule is not the medicine. So then he says, it is not the sound of Krishna's name that is Krishna. Krishna is within the sound. The holy name must be surcharged with the proper spirit, not any mundane sentiment. Don't we all feel this sometimes? That we chant the holy name and there's nothing going on. And don't we feel at other times that as we are chanting, we don't want to stop? Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Oh, I'm chanting. Krishna, Krishna. Me, I'm chanting. Yes. Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare. It seems to be a divine gift, something which is given to us, which is now received by me, and now I am allowed to chant. Don't we all have this experience? So what makes the difference between the alphabet chanting, ha, a, e, k, k, s, m, a, and Hare Krishna? What makes the difference between this? Let us listen very patiently to this enlightening insight. It's still Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur who speaks to us in his book Sri Chaitanya's teaching. The most important thing in chanting the holy name is that you complete your number of rounds. Now, I was just checking. The most important, I will do this many times to you. The most important thing in chanting the holy name is the spiritual realization backing the name. That is the real name. A tape recorder can pronounce the holy name of Krishna. A parrot can pronounce it. But the physical sound is not Krishna. In the background, there must be spiritual truth which is conscious. You cannot capture the holy name of Krishna simply by vibrating the syllables of the holy name with your tongue. And then Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur offers an example. He says, Ravana tried to capture Mother Sita, but he only got an illusion, not the real Mother Sita. So then he goes on to explain, his language is always a language which we don't speak in these modern times any longer. So I would like to make it a little clear what he means with the background must be there to your chanting. He says, you cannot vibrate the holy name simply by moving the lips and tongue. The pure name of Krishna is not lip deep, but heart deep. When Krishna in the form of sound descends from the transcendental world into the heart, and from the heart comes to the lips and tongue, dancing there, that is Krishna's name. And when does Krishna come down? When Krishna, in the form of sound, descends from the transcendental world into the heart, and from the heart comes to the lips and tongue, dancing there, that is Krishna Nam. Clear? Wonderfully said, isn't it? Wonderfully explained. So when does Krishna come down and come on our tongue which has no spine? Yes, our tongue says so many things. Spineless creature, the tongue, so much nonsense, so much material sound vibration. When does the Lord come on this spineless creature? Well, he says, Krishna may come down by his grace, being attracted by our pure serving nature. I would really like to put this jabbery form under this heading. This is about service to Krishna. Yes, we will learn techniques, and I will move you a little bit around. I will see how flexible you are, and then decide to what extreme I can go with you. But it's not about this. This is just, techniques are just to put us into a receptive mood, maybe, to put the disturbances out of our bodies and mind, which always are there. But what we are looking for during this retreat is Nam Seva. We want to serve the Holy Name. We cannot control Him. He may come down if He pleases, being attracted by our service attitude, service mood. Nam Seva. What that is and how to do it, we will all learn this. But for now, those who make notes, make the notes service, Nam Seva. So after having read this, I was profoundly shocked. I went, I had almost a breakdown. A nervous breakdown. Have I done all this in vain? Have I never chanted? Like that, I was thinking to myself. And I was going to the learned Vaishnavas. And they have pacified me. No, they said, you have chanted the holy name, but on the beginning stages, you, please don't panic now. You have done some preparatory work, but now you must learn the process. In a very humorous way, and because I don't want to bring so many heavy subjects all at once, I would like to read you something from Srila Prabhupada on practice. If you do not make yourself perfect about chanting the mantra, it will not be effective. And then Prabhupada gives us a practical, he says, I will give you one practical instance. It is not a story, it is a fact. Perhaps some of you know my friend who came here, Dr. Ghosh. Apparently, there was his friend who visited him, and Prabhupada now asked him, do you remember him? Do you know him? And then he relates to us that once Dr. Ghosh told him that in the Lucknow University there was a case of snake bite. There is a big building and three snake biting cases happened. And then the students invited a snake charmer to come and pronounce a snake mantra. I have heard they chant the mantra, lulululululu, and then the snake is forced to come by this mantra, and then the snake charmer will just very quickly take him by the neck and hold him and put him in a basket for future treatment, either getting poison for medicine or using it for different snake charming purposes. So this snake charmer, Prabhupada says in his very charming way, he was a Mohammedan gentleman. The students didn't really believe that he was for real, and they had visited him and to find out more about his trade and skill. So he knew, this Mohammedan gentleman, these medical students, they have come to see the fun, how the snakes are charmed. In other words, they were doubtful. So then students challenged the snake charmer, the Mohammedan gentleman. These are treated snakes. They are imitation snakes. They are not really dangerous. They have no poison, and so on. But then the Muslim gentleman blew his flute, and all the snakes, hundreds of them, came out of their baskets and began crawling over the courtyard towards the students. And at that time, the students became extremely serious. And they said, take these snakes away. So Prabhupada alludes to this, and he says, sometimes a snake-charming mantra may be purchased in the market, but it doesn't work. You have to learn how to chant it properly. So he said, so this was spoken by Dr. Ghosh, a personal experience. The mantra has got so much power, but you cannot purchase the mantra and just chant it. That will not do. You have to make it perfect. There is a process how to become perfect in chanting the mantra. I'm reading from Hari. This was Srila Prabhupada's statement. Now I will read Harisori Prabhu. It's from Harisori's diary, September 17th, 1976, in Vrindavan. This was just a material example, Prabhupada said. And if we seriously chanted the Maha Mantra, which is completely spiritual, then the effect would be unlimited. He said, if we chant it properly, only once, the Hare Krishna mantra can destroy more sins than the most sinful person can commit in a whole lifetime. And so Prabhupada then ends this. This is now a quote. Actually, this mantra, Krishna, Hare Krishna, it's Krishna himself. So if you are allowed to keep yourself constantly in company with Krishna, then just imagine what is your position. If you keep yourself always near the fire, certainly you shall remain warm. There will be no attack of cold or anything like that. If we constantly chant Hare Krishna, then we are not in this material world. Then he says about bad chanting, but if we purposely again come to the material world, that independence you have got. So my dear devotees, today I want to very emphatically say to you, we have the greatest opportunity, the holy name, but we have to make our chanting perfect. The holy name is perfect, but our chanting practice must become perfect. And this is what this retreat is all about. I will try to give you philosophical and practical insights as much as possible. I will also draw on the presence of the older devotees who can enlighten us. Also, I will be able to deal with this subject completely. But I really want to request you to take this time purposefully and very seriously out of your life to learn to make the chanting perfect so that the Lord appears to you. Please don't think that the Lord cannot appear. Please also do not think that, oh no, I'm not advanced enough. Please also do not think, oh, maybe I have chanted so much badly and so offensively that the Lord is just frustrated with me and doesn't come to me. I'm very, very, very convinced, based on the experience of this retreat, that if you take this seriously, you will say, like many devotees who have visited, who have done this, who have gone through this experience, wow! Wow! In American slang, it blows my mind, Prabhu! This is how we speak in American slang, you know. Awesome! Some young people have said, cool, really cool. Whatever you say, you will actually be able to make an experience. But you have to give it a little bit your endeavor. You will have to be a little disciplined. It's only 4 days, and you will taste nectar. Very soon you will taste. And if not, you can. I will give you whatever you want. I better don't talk about promises now. if absolutely nothing happens, which has never happened to anyone, at least one thing will happen which Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has called the Kana Beda Sanskara. What is that? In Vedic times, men and women and men both would pierce their ear to tighten an earring. Some of you have should not look at the Mataji's ears as a strict sannyasi, but there must be earrings. You have pierced a channel in your ear, and now, at least that was the old style of earrings, and now you keep the channel open by putting the earrings. This was done in Vedic times for men also, especially brahmanas, because here are some important nervous centers, and if you pierce them here, lust for material things goes down in men. That's what I heard. So they would wear these sacrificial earrings here. Kshatriyas would wear them also for other for purposes. They would hit on other points. So the practice of wearing earrings was an ancient practice. And once you have made a channel, then you would, by practice, keep it open and so on. So if nothing happens, you will... So this ceremony is Kana. Kana is the ear. And Beda means to go through. Kana Beda Sanskara. So if you chant extra rounds, which we will do in a very nice environment and very nice setting, my dear devotees, you will experience how a new channel is opened in your life, and how you will experience a very new there will be a new experience for you. So the japa reform which we attempt to make is based on seva, serving the holy name. The idea of the japa reform is that you can chant the name, but if you don't do it with the proper spirit, Krishna is not present, but only the alphabets are present. This is a severe challenge to all of us. We don't want to be alphabetic chanters. We want to be proper chanters. I will not talk so long this evening. I will now tell you a few things, suggestions how to make most of your retreat. First of all, retreats work is an ancient spiritual practice which has been done by all spiritual searchers since time immemorial. The Ayurveda, strangely or surprisingly, tells that a retreat is a must for creativity. Every half a year, a person would be going into a retreat. The Ayurvedic, let me say, you may have to help me, Ayurveda accompanies a person. It doesn't only come to use when a person is sick. So this preventative Ayurvedic cure said that every half a year a person should go into a house within a house. What is this concept? Well, there was a house, mud house, which had windows facing west and east, west and east, and inside was a second house which had windows facing south and north. Do I make sense? So a person who would go into the house within the house would only hear indirect sound and would only see indirect light. Can you imagine what condition was created like this? What is this like, this condition? It's a little bit like being in the womb, where you get the sensation. I don't know how much light, but there is certainly a perception, a difference between day and night, but especially in sound. It's only indirect. It was going back. Don't we like to sometimes think, oh, if I could go back and start all over again, certain things, certain relationships, and so on. So this was the classical retreat. A person would go there by fasting. We won't do this. Don't worry. By prayer, we will do this. And by, especially in japa, we will do that also. By these and by Shastric study, we will do this a little bit by hearing philosophical lectures. By this, a renewal would happen in the person's life. And he would come out of the house and within the house in a new way, in a new spirit, in a purified way, and in a with new perspectives which came by revelation. So this retreat atmosphere, we want to also create here. We want to go within a house. That means I would like to request you to try to shut yourself off the normal things you do. There's one great personality amongst us. His name is His Holiness Romapat Maharaj, who is preparing for a very important GBC meeting in Italy, and you, dear Maharaj, who am I to give allowance or not allowance, but we have full understanding for your situation when you have to communicate. Maybe there are others also who have $1 million deals and they need to say a yes or a no on the computer at this time. Of course you can do. But my suggestion is give yourself these 4 days and be for yourself. We are here in the Naimisharanya forest of America. Isn't it idyllic? For those who like sun, you can also go in this direction. There is ample opportunity for the sun. I hear it gets will get warmer also, according to the weather frogs. It will get warmer. But please try to be with you. On one day, I will request you to perform mona, that is, be silent, no talk. I will read at that time Prabhupada quotations where he says in what frame or where mona is good. It will be on our 64 rounds day when we all will move in that direction. Otherwise, mona may be too difficult to do this. Please try to talk affectionately with each other. Try to avoid agitating speech and agitating subjects. There are so many agitating subjects nowadays. No dearth of them. Try to use this really as a retreat, because then only you will get most out of it. Try to be a little bit for yourself, walk in the forest or in the sun, reflect about what you have heard, and again think about relationship, your relationship with Krishna. Then you will go very, very deeply. We will tomorrow, yes, start our day like this. This is a format which we have always used. It is, we will all meet together at 7 o'clock, but we will start chanting here. I think I recommend 5:30, but if some of you, due to heavy travel or some general exhaustion which is bound to come with old age, do not come for morning. There is really no compulsory thing. We really there's no one who looks at you and when you get up and so on. But please try to be there latest by 7 o'clock. The whole night, even, yes. Please try to be there, because at 7 o'clock we will all sing together. We will start the day with singing, begging for Prabhupada's mercy on us. We will chant Sansara Dhavana at that time, and then there will be the lecture which puts the mood for the day. That's an important lecture. Then we will have ample pauses. During these pauses you can do individual japa, but my recommendation is don't in the first day or try to go to very, very high rounds. When you are used to moderate amount of chanting, that is 16 rounds, then if you try to increase too quickly and too fast, this is not good. You will learn techniques which are very interesting for you to make, and when you know them, you will want to experiment with them and get the benefit from them. But in the beginning, please take it slowly. Don't take it with that spirit of the mountain climber who now wants to scale Mount Everest without oxygen mask and all. It is said that when someone has poor chanting habits, he should not aspire to immediately increase his rounds drastically. Just like a person who has some fever, cannot taste a proper meal, so the conditioned soul, which has the fever of forgetfulness and also nama aparada, will not be able to take big doses of the holy name. But if he continues to take according to his ability and where he is, then slowly and slowly, as the fever abates, he will be able and very happy to consume big amounts of prasadam, like most of us are accustomed to do. Also, when we do suggest to chant more rounds, if you feel you get to your limits, it's perfectly all right to go to your rooms, to read something, maybe to walk in the nice nature, make some connections with the deers, and so on and so forth. Really, this is a very gentle retreat, a very gentle thing. Yes, there's firmness, and there are challenging and provoking thoughts, and new practices for us, but really it is a gentle process. It's a very, we know we need the mercy. We don't want to make an arrogant attempt by trying to speed up and run back to Godhead and be a Vaikuntha crasher. This is the wrong attitude. Then the Lord will not reveal Himself. We will gently try, patiently doing our service and experience the benefit. This is all I wanted to say now. Now, I suggest, it's already because we started late and we did all this. I think then we should just do a very small bhajan, maybe up to 8 o'clock or so. Maybe we can request our Badahari Prabhu to engladden our hearts and chant with us. Then I think at 8 o'clock and so we can slowly retire. We can settle. Some of you have no rooms, I understand. We can go early to bed, or we can talk with our dear friends whom we have not seen for a long time. We can, and so on. But please, when you go to bed, fix something in your mind. This is very important. Fix in your mind that tomorrow I will chant. I will give my best tomorrow, because when we just arrive, the days are there, we are a little hazy, we are a little, so many preparations we had to do to come here, we are a little, the vata element is very high in us. Please, when you go to bed, you can say, tomorrow I will start the retreat. Today is just setting the mood, warming up. So we will just chant for 50 minutes or something like this, and then you can all go. One thing is, please don't think, when the chanting starts, then I should go, because that is not important. That is a filler. The chanting together or singing together is not at all a filler. It is part of the retreat. Because in this age of Kali, the congregational kirtan, sankirtan, is really the process. Mahaprabhu and Nityananda and Mahaprabhu, they are known as the father of sankirtan. They are not really known as the father of japa. Japa is within their teaching, and we have to do the japa. But the sankirtan will soften our hearts and will make us able to chant properly. So it's the kirtan is part of the program. It's not a filler, an unnecessary filling instrument, because we don't know what to do else, and because we are the Hare Krishnas. It is part of the therapeutical process. Yes. Part of the therapeutical process. Hare Krishna. Thank you.